This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast. Presented by Allied Home Security.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Thursday to all of you. Happy day two of Camp Casario. To all of you, nice to be with you. We are live out at Camp Casario. We're live at the Methodist Training Center. Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne. We are Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Day two after what was a kind of a wild day one of training camp out here yesterday. Seth, I would say one of the most awkward, strange, bizarre days of training camp, really days of covering any team in this town. I've been in this town doing radio for damn near 15 years now, and I can't ever remember a scene like yesterday when Deshaun Watson came from over that bridge across Kirby by himself.
Looking like a Sith Lord.
Yeah, with his hood up. And I guess just to set the scene, and good morning to all of you and good morning to you, Seth. Just to set the scene from yesterday, I'm sure a lot of you were listening when Nick Casario met with the media yesterday at about 8:45 in advance of the first practice out here yesterday. He'll join us today at 7:30 a.m., by the way, live right here in that chair across the table from us. But he never really answered directly the question, will Deshaun Watson be out here today? So once Nick Casario was done, the media then kind of walked over to another section of the barricade to kind of wait and look at the entrance. And sure enough, out came a player who, certainly from a physical stature standpoint, looked like Deshaun Watson, but he was by himself, which Deshaun normally is not when he comes out there. He's a very popular player amongst his teammates. He was by himself, hood up, mask covering almost all of his face, maybe except his eyes, and we were all going, I think that's Deshaun. I'm pretty sure that's Deshaun. And then eventually he did sort of a kind of a stretching of his neck that he always does a lot. And I said, that's Deshaun. You can't slip that one past Sean Pendergast. I'm like a CIA agent. Yeah. I'm like, that's him. That's him right there. I spotted him. And it was him. And Seth, I don't know. You may have a better perspective on this as a former player, just how awkward it might have been yesterday for guys out here. It seems like everybody was getting their work in just fine. I think we were probably more digesting the awkwardness of the situation than Deshaun's teammates.
Yeah, I get. You know, I think sometimes when people start talking about distractions on a football team, they think that like a football team is going to be like a bunch of chattering 11 or 12 year olds that can't focus or concentrate because there's been a disruption in the classroom, and it's never quite like that because you've got your own job to worry about. You've got your own stuff to worry about. Guys on the defense barely pay attention to anything or any drama that's going on in the offense. And then likewise, even on the offensive line and you've got your own challenges. So it was really, really weird, but everybody else can kind of go about their business. I was a little bit wrong because early on I'm watching and I was trying to evaluate, okay, if I came out here and didn't know that there was any drama or anything, would I have thought, oh, wow, something's up with Deshaun? I don't think I would have. I think I would have just thought, like, okay, everybody's going about their business. As the practice went on, it got steadily more apparent that, okay, Deshaun's not who he normally is. If I were out here and I knew nothing of the drama of the past several months, and I were watching practice for the first time, probably... Well, obviously, once they started doing team drills, I would have thought, oh, that's weird. The starting quarterback's not taking any snaps with the team drill. He had been doing all the other drills individually with everybody. And then, as Landry pointed out, and this is something Landry, very astute, is that Deshaun, at no point during practice did we notice him dancing at all, where he used to dance a lot between snaps and whatnot.
When he was, okay. Yeah. Now, Landry wouldn't have seen this because he was busy doing his show.
Selfish.
And think, okay, well, think about in a vacuum, without any context, if you hadn't known what was going on with Deshaun Watson, how bizarre what I'm about to say is going to sound.
Yeah.
And this goes to show you how weird yesterday was. But, Seth, towards the end of practice, when Deshaun was wearing a defensive number 23 jersey and a cover on his helmet so he could be a stand-in safety on the walkthrough drill,
yeah,
he was shaking his shoulders to the music slightly.
Oh, he was
a little bit.
There, yeah.
Oh, not
okay.
Full-on dancing like he normally did. I say all that, not so much about the dancing part, but there was a juncture in practice where Deshaun is standing in 25 yards from the closest teammate as basically a skeleton safety on a walkthrough drill.
Yeah, and I don't know. That's the one where I hesitate to say that that's necessarily all that strange. The way it was presented, and I don't think it was done intentionally, but it's just, you know, people only have so many characters in a tweet. It was almost presented like he was out there actually running drill, like yeah, out there scrimmaging as a scout team player or something. He was just standing there as a stand. You put pennies on, you've got limited numbers, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's done that at other points in his career.
Okay, well, that's interesting, because I do a hit on the Morning Bull every morning,
yeah,
with George and Mo, and they obviously, all their questions this morning were about Deshaun Watson and training camp and how weird it was yesterday. And when I brought that up, the question they asked me was, and a lot of people ask this, was, wow, do you think they were doing that to embarrass him a little bit?
Yeah.
And I said, I really don't think so. I don't think the relationship between the two sides is all that great right now. But I think the Texans are savvy enough to know, like, they're not, what, next you're going to have him picking up cups and things like that? I don't think they're doing that kind of thing with him. You're right. You could make the flip side argument. Like, he's being a good teammate. He's jumping in and putting a penny on and standing there at safety.
Yeah, no, because there are all these things that happen. And sometimes when people are focusing extra on it, you notice things that you never noticed before.
Yeah.
But as far as guys just throwing a penny on or something just to stand there during a walkthrough drill, that's not that uncommon. In the NFL, maybe that was the first time Deshaun Watson's ever done it, but I don't think anybody would have necessarily noticed it. Because it wasn't, again, I think the way I read it from the way some people were reporting it, it made it sound like Deshaun was out there like as a genuine scout
team. Like on
the
scout team.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, well, that would be really weird.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't that way at all, at least from when I was watching. He was just standing there.
I guess here's my overriding emotion from yesterday after watching Deshaun out here. And look, it was different. You know, Deshaun is usually the guy, Seth, when the horn blows and they go from drill to drill and station to station, he is the guy who is running and is first to the next station. I know that because Clint Sterner would point that out at training camp all the time. Clint's always looking, as a former quarterback, at those little elements of leadership that show certain things like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't that way yesterday. Deshaun was walking behind everybody. Deshaun was in his hoodie for a lot of the time, didn't have a Texans jersey on at the outset of practice. Deshaun was by himself way more than he ever was at practice, just standing off from teammates. And look, this is all us reading into things, right? But that's what we're here to do. My overriding emotion yesterday, to be honest with you, I was kind of sad. You know what I mean? Like, this thing's going to end pretty soon. You know, whether it's in the next few days, next few weeks,
next
few months.
It's a bold prediction.
Well, I say, okay, I guess by soon I mean sometime during our lifetimes.
Yeah.
It's going to end. Like, Deshaun Watson is, I don't think, going to play for the Texans again, is my bold prediction here. And I guess that's my overriding emotion, is I was kind of sad, man, because I watched Deshaun. I think about the other training camps with Deshaun and how much excitement there's been with him. I think about all the highlights that he's provided. And I know Deshaun's got a whole other thing going on in the legal world, too. So this is not me saying I'm sad for Deshaun. Let me be clear about that. I'm just sad in general as a Texan fan. I'm sad for Texan fans that they finally got this guy, and he's provided us with all these highlights, and he's given us all this hope, and this is how it's ending. It's ending with him with a shower cap on his helmet standing in as a safety on a scout
it's
team.
It's the lost opportunity of it.
Yeah.
All. Yeah. I guess, and honestly, I'm saying that's a bold prediction for you to say that it's going to end soon, because I think if you try to make any prediction using any kind of logic about the way things have gone over these last several months with the Texans, you're bound to be wrong a bunch. And I'm honestly not patting myself on the back here for this whatsoever, but I just want to illustrate it, and this is why I'm skeptical of any prediction. A few months ago, when I said, look, the logical strategy for Deshaun is to report to training camp, every time I brought that up, people were like, what? No.
Yeah.
No. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would he show up? Why would he do that? And this is a warp zone where there is no, the expected thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think the Texans, at the very least, a lot of people you said, no, there's no way he'll step on a field. Why would he? That would be that's the dumbest thing ever. Of course he won't step on the field.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. He might be here another 3 months. He might be gone tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess. I'm not here to debate the timeline of the whole thing. I guess just my emotions yesterday with all of it was, man, this is sad. Every other training camp Deshaun's been a part of, it's been like, man, this is the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land. And now we were watching it yesterday with, boy, I wonder what body language he's going to show us that he has zero desire to be here right now.
Yeah.
Like, that's a rough place to be as a fan.
It was really, really strange.
Yeah. So we'll talk about it.
I'm guessing it'll be strange again today.
Yeah, I'm guessing it will be too, assuming he's going to be out here again today. Deshaun Watson out here at Camp Casario, Texans training camp. We're out here with you live as well. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, as the sun is coming up here shortly. We've got a lot to get to on the program today. Another reason why you should be very excited about the long-term future of the Astros. That's next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you live at Camp Casario. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne. Nick Casario will be joining us in a little over an hour. He will join us at 7:30 live out here at the Methodist Training Center. Day two of Camp Casario. Quick sidebar here. We'll circle back to some Texans talks, Aaron Rodgers talk as well, as we roll on with the first hour of the show. But quick sidebar, the Astros yesterday. It's a big week, man. The Rockets tonight have the second overall pick. James Click is wheeling and dealing. James Click is dominating the GM headlines. I say he's dominating the GM headlines, but Nick Casario was doing a pretty good job yesterday, and Rafael Stone's making a huge pick tonight. It's a big week for GMs.
It's a big week for GMs in Houston, all of whom have been on the job for less than a year, right?
Yeah.
Nick Casario is the longest tenured of the three major professional sports here
it's
in
unbelievable.
Houston.
So James Click makes another deal yesterday, bringing in Yimi Garcia, who's been the closer for the Miami Marlins this year. He trades outfielder Brian De La Cruz. They throw Austin Pruitt into the deal as well. So, Seth, I think there's a lot of Astro fans who are waiting to see if James Click does the Luno thing and makes the big swing at a big arm at the top of the rotation. That's still in play. The Astros are still one of the teams reportedly talking to the Nationals about Max Scherzer. My thought had been that when the week ends, I doubt we see Scherzer in an Astros uniform, but I do think that James Click knows that they need help in the bullpen, and he's doing it. He's making these moves. It does make you wonder. You know, you and I were kind of, I think, somewhat jokingly, but at the same time, maybe seriously, after that horrible loss on Monday to Seattle where the bullpen was just awful, you know, kind of saying, okay, one step backwards, but this might be, you know, three steps forward if this is the thing that gets James Click, you know, really gets that buying bug going for some relievers.
Right.
They've now picked up two guys that you could argue are the closers for the teams that they were on.
Right, and that's where, and especially given two things. One, the Astros and the pickles they've gotten themselves into. You know, they haven't had to worry about their closer at all. Presley's been just outstanding, obviously. It's everything else in the bullpen. Everybody except for Presley has given you reason for pause at some point.
Yeah.
And now you feel like you could have more of a conventional, okay, your starter went six innings, line him up 7, 8, 9. Maybe seven is a little dicey. But and now Graveman's an interesting one, too, because, and I hope everybody's enjoying the background of that.
The lawnmower. I think it gives the feel that we're out at Camp Casario.
It feels like we're chatting in the backyard
while
somebody mows their lawn on a Sunday morning.
That's right.
So, that you know, your bastard neighbor that gets up to mow his lawn at 6:20 in the morning on a Sunday.
Yeah, I hate that guy.
So, Graveman started off as a starter and transitioned into a reliever. His velocity has gotten steadily faster, as Adam Spolane pointed out a couple days ago. Like every year since he's become a reliever, his velocity has gotten faster. But if you look at his ERAs through the years, he never had an ERA lower than 3.86, and that was with hardly any time at all. When he was a serious starting pitcher or reliever with heavy innings, he never had one below a 4. Now, in 2021, he's sitting there at the age of 30 with a .82 ERA.
Yeah.
So, I look forward. I've been so wrapped up in training camp here and then just and trying not to be dehydrated yesterday that I haven't dug into the Graveman stuff as much as I'd love to. But it feels like one of those things where if it were another GM, you'd worry that, wait a second, are you buying a high on a guy that's just having a lucky year or having a career year? But we know that Click has this history in Tampa where, just like in Houston, they can kind of figure out how to actually make substantial changes to a guy, even when they're veterans, to turn him into different pitchers,
yeah,
or vastly improve or bring, almost like be a fountain of youth for guys. So I trust James Click's judgment with Graveman that, you know, he thinks that this is an improvement that's going to stick.
Yeah, I don't even know, Seth, and I say this on the heels of Abraham Toro hitting another home run yesterday. He's hit home runs in four straight games.
Yeah,
I don't know that he bought all that high
when you consider
the price tag.
Right.
You know, like, Toro is not part of their future plans. He's 24 years old. Joe Smith is almost 40. So they didn't really use any of the powder that they would need to go get a significant arm to get Graveman. I'd be more worried if after the season he gave Graveman 3 years, $31 million.
What I'm saying, yeah, and what I'm not talking about the price he paid. I'm talking about the opportunity cost of, okay, wait a second. If Graveman ends up being your setup guy when you could have gone out and got somebody else.
Oh, I got you.
So, you know, if you're using Graveman instead of Rich Rodriguez,
yeah.
Then
that makes sense.
Yeah, like so I feel like he feels that he can trust Graveman, that whatever improvements he's made is, which, by the way, did I show you? I found my spider tech keeps showing up. And I don't know if I should have brought it. Oh, no, wait, that's tuna fish. Never mind. If the cans are... The cans
you
are
should
very,
rub that on your hands.
The cans are very... I got excited when I left with my backpack this morning. I saw this canister. I was like, oh, there's my spider tack. I'm going to bring it to camp and see if I can entice one of the quarterbacks.
But you happen to have a canister of tuna fish.
I'm going to try to entice... You know who's going to like this tuna?
Out here at Texans training camp, nobody.
You know who? We're interviewing him at 7:30. Nick Caserio. One thing that impressed me yesterday was, like, Nick Caserio looks like a guy who has, like, half a can of tuna fish and a black coffee for breakfast.
He's yoked.
Like, he's just very, very fit.
Yeah.
Not yoked like... Football player yoked, like,
no, like triathlete
yoked.
He's cut.
Like muscular, but looks like he could go out and run a marathon at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm going to give him this tuna fish.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's pole caught. So
I'm sure he'll appreciate
that. No dead
that.
Dolphins out there because of this one.
Yeah, good. I'm sure he'll appreciate that. I go in Payne and Pendergast and I get gifts. Tuna.
There's zero chance he wouldn't interpret that as an insult of some sort. If somebody ever gives you a can of tuna, they are insulting you.
Seth is the first person to ever put the chip on the shoulder of a general manager.
So pissed off. So now my spider tech is still missing.
Okay, but at least you got some tuna. I'm going to read a text message.
Yeah.
Back to the Texans here. Text message. Deshaun should have never stepped on the field. One, he has adamantly expressed he doesn't want to be in Houston. Two, the multiple troubling allegations against him is unprecedented. Sit his ass in the locker room until he is traded.
I think that texter is making an assumption that I don't think is accurate. Because I think that texter is acting like the punishment would have been to let him sit in the locker room, or to make him sit in the locker room. Where if I put myself in Deshaun's shoes, if I'm just showing up so I don't get fined, that's actually a little bit of a reward or lax treatment if you get to sit in the locker room.
And now, not get fined.
Yeah, so the Texans, now this is where that doesn't necessarily mean that sticking Deshaun on the field is the right thing to do. But in terms of just trying to read and diagnose the situation, I think it's more likely the Texans are maybe, you know, puffing their chest out a little bit with Deshaun and David Mulligan and saying, like, all right, fine. You know, you want to talk smack about us and this organization, everything? Here you go. You go out on the practice field and be out there as a fourth stringer.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
Not taking reps.
It did not look like a reward yesterday, him being out here. Deshaun was kind of, again, body language, but Deshaun was moving like a guy who wanted to be anywhere but out here at practice yesterday.
It got steadily more so like that.
Yes, it did.
I didn't think it was that noticeable, and I think it steadily, as he was excluded from more and more drills. When it's just individual drills, it's, you know, you wouldn't necessarily be able to tell the fourth stringer from the first stringer, other than that. Okay, let me say this real quick. Jeff Driscoll was clearly not one of the starting quarterbacks out there.
Terod Taylor at times did not look like a starting quarterback.
Driscoll was sailing balls all over
the place.
Yeah,
he's not good.
Like,
yeah.
I know, but it was just that was the part that stuck out to me.
Yeah.
Was Deshaun being, like, fourth in line
de facto
behind
fourth straight.
It was one thing, like, if I didn't know any quarterbacks, if I didn't know him from Adam and I went out there and I saw just Tyrod Taylor, Davis Mills, and Deshaun Watson, it might take a little while to figure out, like, wait a second, that guy's different.
Yeah.
Jeff Driscoll, you could figure out he's different very quickly in the opposite
direction. Yeah, you want to know the scary thing about that? In 2017, it was like that, except it was with Tom Savage as the starting quarterback. Like, you could tell in 2 seconds, like, okay, why is four not running with the ones right now?
Yeah. So, right. Now, and again, I don't think that's the argument against what the Texans are doing, obviously, is, well, if he is going to get traded, why subject him to injury whatsoever? Why create the distraction, all of that? And I think that this early in camp, I don't think they care. I think if it was a distraction a week or two before the season, then that's another scenario. But right now, it might just be a little bit of, well, here you go. This is what you want.
Well, Nick Caserio and David Culley were both asked that yesterday. You're going to want to hear their answers heading into yesterday's practice. I wonder if they still feel the same after the Culley's quotes were from after practice, Caserio before. Heading into day two, is this how Nick Caserio and David Culley feel about Deshaun Watson being a distraction? We'll have that for you next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say we've had conversations. I'm not going to get into the nature of those conversations. Again, he's here. You know, he's been in meetings. He went through the conditioning test, you know, just like however many other players that we had that were here. So, again, we're going to take it one day at a time, Ed. You know, we're going to do what we feel is best on a day-to-day basis.
That was Nick Caserio yesterday. Payne and Pendergast with you live at Camp Caserio, Texans training camp. The sprinklers are going. The mowers are going. There will be day two of practice out here today, and we've got you covered. Nick Caserio joins us in about an hour from now, 7:30, and we'll talk about a recap of day one with him, everything going on with the team. We'll get to with the Texans GM in about an hour, 7:30 a.m., Nick Caserio. So, Seth, he was saying that Deshaun Watson, he's been engaged with the coaches. He's been in meetings. He took his physical. He's done all the onboarding things that a player coming into training camp would do. The follow-up to Caserio was, were there any concerns about Deshaun Watson being a distraction? Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, no, our players and staff have done a great job. I mean, focusing on what they can control, which is their job, which is their individual performance, which is their individual skill development, and, you know, their development as a player. Again, kind of where we are at training camp, and this week is kind of unique. We're in this kind of ramp-up period. There's no pads, you know, it's helmets. You know, we're going to go through practice like we normally do. But the most important thing for each player, each person, is to focus on themselves and the things that they can control. Again, we have 50 new players, or whatever it is. I mean, you guys have done the count probably better than I have, but we have a lot of new players, so their responsibilities to themselves and to each other to go out there and just do their job and prepare themselves to play. Again, the roster construction, what that looks like, again, between now, I mean, we play a game in, what is it, 17 days or something like that, so we have 12 to 13 practices, so we have a lot to get done in a short period of time, so the most important thing is for the players to focus on the things that they can control.
That was before that was, practice yesterday.
Yeah, it was before practice, and one of the kind of strange little moments yesterday was when I think Brian T. Smith asked if Deshaun Watson was going to be out there. Maybe it was Berman, whoever got the question. And you know, it was before practice, so it was, you know, 5-10 minutes before the players were going to start arriving. And
Didn't answer.
Caserio just decided just to not answer that question. You're like, man. And I thought about it afterwards because obviously we're going to find out within a few minutes, but I think the policy is right now to just 100% not answer any of those questions, yeah. Basically to not bring it up whatsoever. The one thing I thought about yesterday is it's a shame that the Texans aren't sitting on like more recent success, because like I said, let's say you had won a Super Bowl sometime in the last couple of years and you found yourself in your scenario, it would have been the perfect moment like in giving those answers for Caserio to like give a wink or something, like, you know, like, hey, is Deshaun going to be out there? Be like, yeah. I mean, the players are walking in right now. You guys are, be my guest. You're going to be able to watch and see.
Yeah,
but it wasn't. Obviously, it's not the time or place for winking. The other thing that I noticed, and I'll say this is one of the more impressive things yesterday. Brian T. Smith, to his credit, was really grilling Caserio
heavily. Yeah,
yeah, and Caserio kind of kept giving the non answers and what have you, but. I was kind of watching, and I wanted to watch for this with Culley, too, to see if the frustration would start setting in. And I don't know if these guys have been doing drill work or whatever on this, but both of them looked pretty calm, cool, and collected when they got really an onslaught and a barrage of questions about it. And you know, and honestly, to some of the writers in there, to their credit, they were being pretty adamant about it. You know, for anybody who thinks, like, oh, you didn't get an answer out of Caserio, The newspaper dudes and the TV guys in there were, like, going at him pretty hard. They're flat out not going to say anything right
now.
Yeah,
Caserio's gone through some pretty good conditioning through being in New England for 20 years. I've watched some of his press conferences from when he was on Belichick's staff up there. Like, the ones I've seen, they went at him real hard back when the rumors were swirling that he wanted to come here and be the GM the first time. And they were peppering him, and he was just, man, he was like the guards at Buckingham Palace. Like, he didn't flinch.
Well, that's what we talked about this a little bit earlier. Like, he's very fit. He's a very fit dude. He's not a big guy at all, but he's very fit. And there was something about, like, him standing a few feet away from BTS, and they were going at it pretty well, but it was, you know, it was, I was impressed with the composure. It was almost, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the, like, one of the guards at Buckingham or whatever.
I just said that 10 seconds ago.
Sean, I must think my Sean. I tried to bring spider tech in this morning, and I brought tuna fish. Think I'm? I mistook tuna fish for spider tech.
Normally, I would let you have your analogy, but I just made it 15 seconds ago.
Everybody listening, that's why it was in my brain. That's how I had it. You had it implanted.
I mean, you stole my joke from right
everybody,
in front of me.
I know. Well, this is how it happened. I heard you. What I was going to say was...
Matt had to walk away.
I know. No. I was going to say something about, like, the guards at, like, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier or whatever. And then I realized, like, that's inappropriate.
Yeah,
like,
that's
something that's very serious and everything. So I had to fall back on plagiarizing.
We went there on our trip, by the way.
We watched the changing
of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. If you've never done that before at Arlington Cemetery, holy smokes.
Yeah, it's some serious stuff.
It is really.
It's not an analogy you want to use on a flipping
ball. No, you're absolutely
right. And just so everybody knows and understands, I looked at my bag this morning in one of the side pockets. I thought I had my spider tech.
Right.
I was going to bring it in and use it as a joke with either Caserio or one of the players.
Yeah.
I just went to take it out of my bag in the previous segment, and it's a can of tuna fish.
Yeah.
So, pull a caught tuna. So, you know, it's the fancy stuff, but not
you should still rub it on your hands and then walk around practice.
And see what kind of a reaction. That's the joke now. Yeah. I was going to make a spider tech joke, but now
it was
just
dark,
like,
out.
Smell my finger. First question to Caserio. Hey, Caserio, smell my finger. What's this smell like?
Payne and Pendergast with you, Sports Radio 610 on a Thursday. Here's David Culley.
Buckingham.
Here's David Culley after practice yesterday. David Culley was asked, we heard Caserio before practice. Here's Culley after practice. Was Deshaun Watson a distraction out there?
Oh, he's been great. He's been just like everybody else. He's been strictly a pro in everything that we're doing, just like everybody else on our team has been. I mean, no distraction at all. You know, again, we have a saying in there right now on our wall that we put. It's got team on it. It's got nobody's name on it. And in the very back, we got the Texas emblem, the Texans emblem back there. And basically, when we're talking about what we're trying to accomplish in training camp and what we want to do right now, it's about the Texans. And it's about team. And that's all. And everybody understands that we're in training camp. Training camp's a time where you create camaraderie, where the guys get to learn how to trust each other, those kinds of things. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're focusing on right now. And after the first day, I feel great about that.
Seth, are we learning very early here at training camp the vast difference between the personalities of the head coach this season and the head coach of the previous seven seasons? Would O'Brien be handling this situation at all similar to how David Culley's been handling the situation?
I mean, he would definitely be, you know, he wouldn't be giving substantial answers, I don't think.
No, but I think his mood would be showing
it would
at
be,
some point.
Yeah,
here.
At some point. Now, remember, though, during training camp, O'Brien would always come in, like, as Nouveau Bill. Like,
yeah.
It would feel like, oh, wow, he's really positive this year.
It's true.
You could tell he'd read some motivational books. You know, Jack Easter being giving him pep talks and whatnot.
Right.
And it always, that's how it felt during training camp. I mean, it felt a little bit that way during training camp last year.
Yes.
Then usually what happens is the stress of the season, the sleep deprivation. The sleep deprivation is the big thing.
Yeah.
As
they say in wrestling, then the bell rang.
Yeah, then the bell rang, right. Or what is Tyson's? Everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the
right.
nose, right?
That's right.
So I think the biggest difference I noticed between Culley and Bill O'Brien, and everybody brace yourself here for a second. There was a point yesterday during practice when I kind of looked around and I thought, I kind of miss Bill O'Brien.
Explain.
For one, you just kind of get used to things.
Sure.
You know, he was here forever, and his training camp kind of felt like that I expected to look and see Bill O'Brien. There are a couple of coaches that have a little bit of that coaching punch physique, you know, that, you know, yeah. Guys, you can tell that they run on a treadmill for 45 minutes a day, but that they spend their day around snacks.
Yeah.
It's a very peculiar football coaching physique.
Yeah.
Kind of muscular at your core, but with some extra weight, but also you do some cardio. There's like two or three coaches that look a little bit like Bill O'Brien.
Sure, sure.
And I looked and saw the silhouette, and I thought, Bill? And then, no, alas, it was not. And
hell no.
I think that Cully has a different... He doesn't have the same presence as O'Brien. Like, Cully's never going to be a star on Hard Knocks, I think. You know,
right.
he's got a lot of personality and charisma and everything. And I think it's for the better in a lot of ways.
He'll be a lovable one-episode character.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, not an overarching five-episode
like
character.
Like, when they brought in, who was it? Is it James Spader on The Office? Who was the one that was in for the one season?
Yeah, James Spader.
California?
Yeah, Robert California.
He wasn't beloved, but he was kind of like,
yeah.
He's that much different personality than...
He was not Steve Carell, I'll just put it that way.
How about when Will Ferrell was on The Office?
I was not a fan of D'Angelo Vickers.
in his fandom of the Southwest.
No, yeah. In his love of sugar. Okay, so the big question out here yesterday, as practice was going on, was, okay, so Deshaun is not taking part in any of the team activities. He's only doing individual activities. So it's not even one of those things, Seth, where you can say, like, well, he's fourth string because look who he's out there playing with in 11-on-11. They kind of avoided that topic altogether just by having him sit out the team activities. So when we were kind of milling around here watching practice yesterday, we were predicting, okay, what would David Culley's answer be to why Deshaun was not taking part in any of the team drills, and the heavy chalk was he just hasn't been in the building. Here's an exchange with David Culley in the media on Deshaun Watson and why he was fairly inactive at practice yesterday.
Well, he was not here doing any of our off-season program at all.
Ding, ding, ding.
And when he came in, we basically decided that we wanted to, when he's ready to do what we feel like he needs to do from a standpoint of this is the ramp-up period. And, you know, we don't want to get to the situation where we're having him do something that he's not ready to do right now. And we decided that the individual period was the periods that we could get him in where nothing happens and moving forward. And we'll make a decision on that.
Seth, if Deshaun Watson were not demanding a trade, if he were happy with the Texans but he just happened to stay away during OTAs and minicamp, is this how they would be handling Deshaun Watson? Even with a new coaching staff.
Oh, right. There are a few.
He's kind of leaning on the newness of the staff and the system.
Right. Which we expected to be, because that's the easy answer.
That's right.
It would in only certain aspects. Now, the things that stood out to me, even early on where I wasn't really detecting a change in demeanor out of Deshaun, one of the big ones is just running through drills and everything. He was fourth. He was just going through the drills fourth, which is weird. And it's one thing, sometimes veterans will do that almost as like kind of a, either they're just not, some guys genuinely don't pay attention to it. Other guys are almost doing it like as a flex. So like, yeah, you know, I'll go last, I'll go first, whatever. I'm going to go where I'm going to go.
Right.
But most guys, especially most guys that are veterans and leaders on the team are going through the drills.
That's always been Deshaun's MO.
And at the very least, you're not going to be going behind Davis Mills, the rookie. You know,
yes.
Like you're gonna be going through the drills first. He was going forth through just running through the bags and everything. So that was somewhat notable. And then not participating in any of the team drills at all. I don't think it would have happened that way even if he had missed all that time.
No chance.
The question I wanted to ask David Culley, except that all the all the hardcore true reporters were in there. I didn't want to get in their way. Is just how much did the terminology actually change? I mean, yes, you've got new coaching in here, but Tim Kelly's still the offensive
ask
coordinator.
Ask him today. He'll meet
right.
with the media today.
Right. Realistic.
Because I think that's an interesting question.
So if Deshaun had held out, let's say he had held out, but everything came to a final conclusion where everything was cool, there were no allegations against him, and he's in and he's still the starting quarterback, are they not going to work in some of the things that he knows?
Right.
You know, that he'd be out there working with the team, doing some of the things. I think he would. So it's the understandable answer to give by David Culley, but I don't think it's entirely accurate.
Payne and Pendergast live at Camp Casario, day two with you here on Sports Radio 610. The other big news yesterday around the NFL was Aaron Rodgers met with the media. I don't know that I've ever seen reaction on social media and on actual television to a press conference by a player like I saw to Aaron Rodgers' press conference yesterday. I guess it was Tom Pelissero who asked him a pretty open-ended question to start the press conference, and Aaron Rodgers proceeded to go on about a five-minute diatribe giving the chronology. It was very insightful. Like, he gave a ton of insight as to how we are now here with Aaron Rodgers, how Aaron Rodgers is now here with the Packers and where things go from here. The part that jumped out at me, Seth, was towards the very beginning of the press conference when he started rattling off names of friends of his, former Packers, who he felt were disrespected by the team on the way out. Here's Aaron Rodgers yesterday up in Green Bay.
Started with a conversation in February after the season ended, and I just expressed, you know, my desire to be more involved in conversations directly affecting my job. Also, I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room, high character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, TJ Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys.
All right, so that was Aaron Rodgers yesterday.
So, yeah,
he went
on
for several minutes longer after that. Seth, my big takeaway from that, he rattled off a dozen former teammates of his.
Yeah.
My big takeaway, two things. One, Aaron Rodgers seems like a very loyal friend. Number two, Aaron Rodgers would make a horrible NFL general manager.
Yeah, he started going through those names, and I was kind of waiting to see the response from all these national writers who were just drooling and fawning over this press conference. And I didn't see it. I'm sure it's out there, but like, where on earth did he think? Does he want a team that still has Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, TJ Lane, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde out there? Like, those guys were left for a reason. Clay Matthews was an awesome player when he was an awesome player.
Right.
At some point, you can't retain all those guys. They have to go elsewhere. And that's the part that, you know, I think there are some players who would be a good voice to have, you know, in the front office. As long as they kind of know their role and know that not every recommendation is going to be listened to. And there were other times in that press conference where he made reference to the fact that, like, hey, I work out with guys in the offseason, and I would tell the front office, and it was never acted on. Like, all right, you know what, Aaron? Maybe you're not that good of a general manager. Like, there is a – I'm not going to sit here and just say, you know, shut up and dribble or what have you, but there is a part where maybe it's a matter of, like, they never listen to any of his recommendations. Mm-hmm. But that's life in the NFL.
Yes.
So two things can be true. Aaron Rodgers can be a diva who, frankly, wasn't all that impressive a quarterback until last season. Like, in the last 3 years, he's had one really good season. The two seasons before that, he actually wasn't all that good. And that maybe the front office shouldn't be listening to all his recommendations. But then second, it can also be true that the Packers front office isn't all that impressive either.
Yeah.
And I get why a lot of Packers fans, as the national media rushes to just beg Aaron Rodgers to spoon them all night long, that Packers fans themselves are kind of divided on the way that Aaron Rodgers is acting. A lot of them are just sick of his act.
Yeah.
And yesterday was more of the same. Like, oh, sorry, poor Aaron. You didn't get every single one of your buddies to stick around forever.
Yeah, he seemed like kind of a baby yesterday. Like, everybody's fawning over him. I'm watching this thing. I rewatched it and listened to it last night, and I'm going, okay. Now, he did get one of his wishes, Seth. He got Randall Cobb back. The Randall Cobb deal is done. And the Texans get a sixth-round pick. They have to pick up $3 million of Randall Cobb's fully guaranteed $8.25 million salary for 2021. The upshot of the whole thing is that they get a sixth-round pick, and they open up about $5 to $6 million in cap space because they were on the hook for Randall Cobb either way. They get hit with a little bit of dead money for his signing bonus. To me, the biggest thing about the Randall Cobb deal is that, yes, they get some cap space. Yes, they get a sixth-round pick. But they do have a couple slot receivers here in camp, and Anthony Miller and Kiki Coutee, that it's just way more important they find out what they have in those guys than that they get Randall Cobb on the field. I like the cleaning out of the depth chart that this did, and not having to do it at full ticket prices. Aaron Rodgers facilitated you actually getting something out of the deal.
Yeah, you know, there's an understandable reaction. I saw a lot of people say, like, oh, how'd you only get a sixth-round pick for Randall Cobb? Because it was a really bad contract.
Yeah.
That's the and one of the reasons it was a really bad contract is that Randall Cobb, I don't think, is probably all that good of a football player anymore. I mean, if you watched him last year, it wasn't just that the scheme wasn't getting him opportunities. I mean, he was non-existent at times. When you tried to watch for, like, I looked for some form of athleticism or explosiveness or pop, and he just looked like just a guy out there. So, and now I think Aaron Rodgers, because they have a really good rapport and understanding of how to read defenses and everything, they can probably use, like, Aaron Rodgers might be able to utilize him better than Deshaun Watson did, but it didn't make him worth that contract.
No.
I mean, it was 3 years, $27 million with $18 million guaranteed. You saw a lot of smart people like Bill Barnwell and whatnot talk over these last few days about how it's one of the worst contracts in the NFL.
Yep.
And I felt like, yeah, thank you. Everybody, we've been screaming that in Houston for 2 years.
Yeah, it's the day the pen touched the paper.
Yeah, and now people are like, hey, did you know that it wasn't just the DeAndre Hopkins trade that Bill O'Brien did?
Yeah.
That was bad? Like, yeah, it was every damn movie made was
right.
bad.
Right.
Can we talk about, do you guys even know who Eric Murray, none of them are talking about the Eric Murray contract because nobody knows who Eric Murray
it's
is.
It's like Bill O'Brien, the general manager, has been holding us hostage for 2 years, and our rescuers finally showed up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, you guys are, you look emaciated. Boy, that's a horrible contract.
Did they not give you K rations?
Like, no, they gave us Randall Cobb.
And they waterboarded us every damn day.
With Randall Cobb.
Stop talking about the K rations.
That's right.
There was other stuff going on here.
All right. I would say the adjective that got used most frequently for yesterday out here at Camp Casario, Texans training camp, was weird. It was weird. It was awkward. One of Deshaun Watson's teammates on our air yesterday on In the Loop answered the question, was yesterday weird? And he did answer it. We'll let you hear it. Let you hear the teammate next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.